This is the podcast where the dark and creepy things we don't talk about discover a voice. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
Well, folks, you know how some houses just feel off the moment you step inside? This one takes that feeling and cranks it up to 11. I'm Tony Bruschi, and today's story isn't just about creaky floors and flickering lights. It's about a home that doesn't seem to know how to let things go. And when strange things start happening, they don't just tap you on the shoulder. They yank the rug right out from under you. Now imagine this. You move into an old house, eager to start fresh. It's not exactly in mint condition, maybe a little dirty, a little neglected, but nothing a bit of elbow grease can't fix. But the moment you cross the threshold, it's like the house whispers, "Welcome. I've been waiting." From lights falling from the ceiling to footsteps walking the halls when no one's there, this story raises the question, what do you do when your house isn't just old but alive? And here's the kicker. Our storyteller isn't easily spooked. They laugh off broken glasses, disappearing beers, and the occasional ghostly woman wandering through the garden. But you know what they say. It's all fun and games until someone finds a snakeskin stitched into a hidden bag behind a suspicious pole in the backyard. At that point, you start wondering, are you dealing with a ghost who just wants a bit of attention? Or did something far more sinister take up residence long before you ever moved in? So grab a seat, folks. This one's got it all. Restless spirits, cryptic discoveries, glowing backyard lights, and dogs that seem to know more than their owners. The only question left is, when does a house go from quirky to haunted? Let's dive in. Dear Tony, I never thought I'd be writing in about this. For the most part, I've laughed off what's happened in our house, but I'll admit, some of it sticks with me in ways I can't quite shake. My husband and I bought an old, beat-up house in Brakpan, thinking we'd fix it up and make it our own. It needed a lot of work, but we liked the idea of a challenge. What we didn't know was that the house came with a little more than cracked plaster and bad wiring. The first time we stepped inside, I knew something was off. Our two sons, usually excited about anything new, took one look at the place and begged me not to buy it. "Please, Mom, not this house." I couldn't explain it, but I felt a chill run down my spine. Still, we went ahead with it. 7 years later, we've made it into a home we love, sort of. But strange things have happened here from the very beginning, and no matter how much we renovate, that feeling of something lingering never really goes away. There's a ghost of a woman who wanders around every now and then. She doesn't cause much trouble, but it's hard to ignore her. My father saw her first. One afternoon, he was driving past our house and saw a woman walking through the front gate, headed toward the stoop. He thought I was home and almost stopped to say hello. When he realized no one was supposed to be home, he got that sinking feeling you get when you know you've just seen something you can't explain. The woman my father described was short, with curly brown hair and a round build. That same description came up later from my husband's cousin's girlfriend, someone who had no idea about my father's encounter. The neighbors tell us that an old woman used to live here, running a tavern out of the backyard. They don't know much about what happened to her, only that she passed away from an illness many years ago. Whether that's who we've been seeing or not, I couldn't say. But she isn't the only presence in this house. There's something different. Something that doesn't just drift through quietly. It likes to touch things. One of the first unsettling things happened not long after we moved in. I was lying in bed when I felt something climb onto the mattress, slowly, deliberately, like it belonged there. It pushed against my legs, almost like it wanted to shove me out of bed. I lay there frozen, barely breathing. I started praying, and just like that, whatever it was backed off. But that wasn't the last time it tried to make itself known. One day, I heard footsteps coming down the hallway, the sound of shoes against the old wooden floorboards. The steps grew louder until they entered the room. Before I could move, something pinned me down, pressed me flat against the mattress. I tried to turn my head, but it felt like a weight was forcing it the other way. Then it spoke to me, Tony, in my own father's voice. "It's just me," it said. "Don't be afraid." But I knew it wasn't my father. I prayed again, and just like before, it left me. Then there was the discovery my husband made in the backyard, something that shook us both. He had always felt uneasy about an old wooden pole stuck in the ground. One day, while we were clearing out the yard, he finally decided to pull it out. Behind it, hidden in the dirt, was a plastic bag. Inside was a snakeskin, sewn shut with thread. There was a smaller pouch inside the bag, filled with something that looked like herbs. We didn't dare open it. We dug a hole, burned everything, and prayed while it burned. After that, the heavy, oppressive feeling in the house lifted, but not entirely. Little things kept happening, as if to remind us that we weren't alone. The strangest thing, and the one that still puzzles me to this day, happened during one of our renovations. My husband opened a beer, set it down on his toolbox, and went back to work. A moment later, he reached for it, and it was gone. Just gone. I was in the room with him the whole time, and neither of us saw it disappear. We searched the entire room, thinking maybe he'd knocked it over, but it was nowhere to be found. And another day, he put a glass down on the edge of the bath while getting ready. As he reached for a towel, he heard a loud crack. When he turned back, the glass had split clean down the middle. It wasn't a flimsy glass, either. It was one of our thick ones, the kind that shouldn't break that easily. We laughed it off, but both of us knew it didn't make any sense. Then there's the issue with the lights. One night we were sitting on the bed chatting, and without warning, the bulb in the ceiling unscrewed itself and shattered on the floor. I just sighed, got the vacuum, and said, "Looks like the ghost wants the lights off." The same thing happened in the kitchen. Another bulb exploded right above me. We had the wiring checked, but nothing was wrong. It's like the house has a thing for breaking lights, and it's not just us. Our tenant, who rents the flat attached to the house, came by one day to tell me that her light fixtures had fallen out of the ceiling for no reason. The bulbs didn't even break. They just fell. She's lived there for a year, and this was the first time something like that happened. The weirdness didn't stop with the lights and the missing beer. Things got stranger, almost playful, but not in a fun way. One night, my husband's cousin and his girlfriend came over to stay the night. We set up a mattress for them on the floor in the sitting room. Everything seemed fine when we all went to bed, but the next morning I found glass shards scattered next to where they slept. For a moment, I thought they had broken something during the night, but they were just as confused as I was. Then I noticed it. Another light fitting had fallen from the ceiling. It was the same situation as before. Perfectly screwed in, no sign of damage or loose wiring, but somehow it just came crashing down. The odd part, it hadn't woken them up when it fell. They hadn't heard a thing. The tenant in the flat attached to our house told me the same thing had happened to her the previous week. Her light fittings had fallen out of the ceiling, but none of the bulbs had broken. I tried to brush it off as a coincidence, but deep down I knew it wasn't. Something was toying with us. It's not just objects that seem to move on their own. Our dogs have been acting strange too, almost like they can sense something we can't. One day they all gathered in the sitting room at the same time and started howling, this mournful, eerie sound that sent chills down my spine. Nothing seemed to trigger it. They just stood there, howling in unison. After our Cocker Spaniel passed away, our other dog started behaving oddly. He refused to sleep in his basket, which faced the hallway, and would sit there staring into the passage as if watching something invisible. He looked terrified. Eventually, I moved his basket to the other side of the room where he couldn't see the hallway. Only then did he calm down and sleep through the night. And then there was that night when my husband went fishing, leaving me home alone. I couldn't sleep, so I stayed up playing LP records in the sitting room. I kept the curtains open since the windows faced the garden, and the night felt calm, at least at first. But as I played my music, I noticed something outside, a small light floating through the backyard, darting up and down as if it were alive. It didn't feel threatening. If anything, it was oddly comforting, like it was watching over me. Still, it left me wondering if something or someone was trying to make itself known. The thing is, Tony, none of these events feel random. They all feel connected, as if the house is trying to tell us a story piece by piece. The missing beer, the shattered glass, the light fixtures falling from the ceiling. It's like the house doesn't want us to get too comfortable. And every time we ignore it, it finds a new way to make us pay attention. We've learned to laugh it off most of the time. It's easier that way. But every now and then I wonder, is this really just a harmless ghost trying to get our attention? Or is it something else? Something we don't fully understand? I wish I knew the answer. All I know is that the house seems to have a personality of its own. It can be quiet for weeks, even months. But just when you start to relax, it pulls a little trick. Something vanishes, a light explodes, or the dogs start howling. At nothing. Again. It feels like a game, but it's a game we don't know the rules to. And honestly, Tony, I don't know whether to be worried or not. Part of me thinks it's just a ghost looking for a bit of attention. And as long as we don't give it too much, we'll be fine. But another part of me wonders if we've only scratched the surface of what's really going on here. So what do you think? Should we be concerned, or is this just one of those things that will never make sense no matter how hard we try to explain it? Thanks for listening. I appreciate it more than you know. All the best to Well, folks, that's a lot to unpack, isn't it? We've got lights falling from the ceiling, ghostly women roaming the garden, dogs howling at invisible forces, and disappearing beers. If this house had a personality, I'd say it's somewhere between a mischievous prankster and a frustrated roommate who never learned how to communicate properly. Let's start with the psychological side of things. There's something about moving into an unfamiliar place, especially one with a bit of history, that can mess with your mind. Renovations, new routines, even subtle stressors can make us hyper-aware of things we might otherwise ignore. Objects disappearing, strange sounds, and even pets acting strangely could be chalked up to miscommunication, exhaustion, or good old confirmation bias. In other words, once you suspect something is off, your brain starts looking for patterns, and when you look hard enough, you usually find them. But here's the thing. Dogs don't read psychology textbooks, and they certainly don't care about human logic. They either sense something or they don't. When a dog flat out refuses to sleep near a certain hallway and sits there staring at nothing, that's a little harder to brush off as coincidence. And let's not forget about the objects vanishing into thin air and lights unscrewing themselves. That's not your average case of, oops, where did I leave my keys? Now let's take a moment to wander down the paranormal path. The ghostly woman fits the profile of a residual spirit, maybe tied to her love for the tavern she once ran, her essence echoing through time without any real awareness. But the other events, the pressure on the bed, the cracked glass, and the snakeskin in the backyard, that feels a lot more personal. If you believe in such things, it's possible that Lily and her family stirred up something much older. Something protective, but not exactly friendly. And what about that light floating through the backyard? Maybe it was a guardian spirit watching over Lily while her husband was away. Or maybe it was a warning, something saying, I'm still here, don't get too comfortable. So, what's the final takeaway here? Is this just a ghost looking for attention or something more? Honestly, I don't know. But if there's one thing I've learned, it's this. When your house starts playing games with you, it's best to pay attention, but not too much. I'm Tony Bruschi, and remember, when the lights flicker or the glass cracks for no reason, it might just be faulty wiring, or it might be something else. Sleep tight, folks.
Want more ghost stories of the paranormal? Press subscribe now wherever you get podcasts. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day, all year long. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.